Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org
or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration. Well, the president hasn't even officially made the announcement yet, although he's expected to do so in a day or two. The name, Amy Coney Barrett, it's not a new name, especially in Washington circles. She serves as an appeals court judge already. She had a rather highly publicized hearing before she was given that position, and we learned a lot about her then. She's on the short list for the vacancy on the Supreme Court due to the recent death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She's expected to be President Trump's pick, but we don't know that for sure, although the media is acting like she's already been nominated and they're doing their own hearings already. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about a Reuters story on the religious faith of Judge Amy Coney Barrett and a New York Times story as well. Terry Mattingly joins us. He's senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
Why is Judge Barrett such a powerful symbol for both sides?
Well, first of all, you have several different kinds of Catholics already on the court. And in this case, you have a woman who, in every conceivable way, symbolizes a practicing, traditional, devout Catholic. So I'm just going to go ahead and say it. What makes her controversial is her children. What makes her controversial is sitting there in front of a Senate panel with seven children. I mean, two of them adopted from Haiti. One of them, of course, a Down syndrome boy. So there was the deliberate choice to have a special needs child, to choose to have that child, to keep that child, and not, frankly, as in some nations of the world where Down syndrome is being all but banned, you know, as a problem for the state. She is a pro-life woman of high achievement in terms of academics and in her legal career. She obviously, I keep waiting for the story that's going to capture what it is about her, both in her writings and when she was in the classroom, that made her so popular with even with the people at Notre Dame, and Notre Dame is a very diverse community of Catholics, even with the people who didn't like her, the people who disagreed with her. I guess the phrase doesn't like her didn't apply. That's the thing. They did like her. They did appreciate her. Even when they were critical of some of her beliefs, there seems to be a charisma about this woman. And part of it is that she is not ashamed of who she is in terms of both her academic achievements and the choices that she and her husband have made concerning the size and shape of their family. But I don't think there's any way around it. What scares so many people about her is fertility, is her children, to use that rather blunt term that Molly Ziegler-Hemingway came up with years ago. A lot of her critics are suffering from fecundophobia, the fear of women having babies, of having even lots of babies. And at the heart of this whole battle is another term, which is fascinating when you look at the ancient meaning of the word handmaiden or handmaid, as it's used in Scripture, specifically and most importantly attached to the Mother of God, as Catholics or Orthodox would say, the Theotokos, the God-bearer, as Orthodox would put it. That term is uniquely attached to Mary, you know, the Queen of Heaven in the ancient church. Okay, but the word handmaiden has, in popular culture, in HBO cable land, has come to be attached to an urban dictionary definition, which is a young woman who is involuntarily taken into a relationship of sexual servitude when a wife cannot conceive, and she is brought in as the sexual handmaid of a wife serving the husband and involuntarily bearing children. So that's about as big a spectrum of rhetoric that you could conceivably throw at an issue, to have now the press going so far out of its way in an attempt to symbolically attach Amy Coney Barrett not just to charismatic Catholicism or traditional Catholicism, and not just to the fact that, you know, she is living a pro-life life and career as a consistent Catholic on pro-life issues, I might add. She's opposed to the death penalty as well. It's that HBO pop culture handmaiden thing that also makes this the ideal fundraising issue for the left, especially, you know, replacing Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the ultimate hero of liberal women's empowerment and of abortion rights in this current generation. Could you possibly have a situation more loaded than that?
Tell us about this recent Reuters story that was put out and then, well, rewritten, but in its original form, played hard on that handmaiden theme.
Well, yeah, someone had a hunch that this story was going to be anonymously and quietly rewritten, so they made a photocopy of it. So and it's exactly this handmaiden point, and the fact that to get her connected to the handmaid language and imagery, you have to make two or three leaps of what turn out to be inaccurate facts or unsupported facts. So the original story, I mean, literally the story opened, some, don't you just love it when you have like a vague, anonymous opening of a lead? Some have likened People of Praise, a self-described charismatic Christian community, to the totalitarian, male-dominated society of Margaret Atwood's novel, The Handmaid's Tale. That's the lead. Second sentence. Others call it an ultra-conservative group with an unusual mix of Roman Catholic and Pentecostal traditions. In any case, there has been renewed interest in the group since U.S. President Donald Trump put out one of its purported members, once again, her membership is not established, Judge Amy Coney Barrett of the 7th District Court of Appeals, on his short list of candidates for his elevation to the Supreme Court. The group has declined to confirm or deny whether Barrett was a member, since a New York Times article in 2017 said she was in the group, citing unnamed current and former members. Okay, now let's leap through it all. There seems to be some confusion about the organization People of Praise and another Catholic charismatic group, People of Hope. The world of Catholic charismatic renewal was incredibly complex. There was lots of churches and parachurch groups, and eventually the Vatican and other branches of Catholicism decided to investigate the charismatic Catholics and see if in fact they were disloyal Catholics, whether they were doing something that either stretched teachings or violated the role of priests and bishops. And the Vatican eventually made its peace with charismatic Catholics, and they are a crucial part of the global Catholic community. I mean, there are parts of the world where the growing fervor and statistical growth of Roman Catholicism is definitely attached to Catholic charismatics. Here in the United States, however, they served as a symbol of kind of conservative evangelical, in the non-Protestant sense of that word, evangelistic fervor among a certain type of Catholic that frankly scared a lot of mainstream country club, Sunday morning, and even progressive Catholics. the charismatic Catholics became kind of a symbol of a dangerous Catholicism, a Catholicism that not only kind of gave lip service to the teachings of the church on sexuality and marriage, but actually enthusiastically practice it. So was she a member? We don't know for sure. Is she a member? We don't know for sure. Has the church made its peace with the actual group People of Praise? Yes, the church has. I believe a priest in the People of Praise has even been raised to the episcopate by Pope Francis, who is not known as a right-winger. Then you have this other group, People of Hope, and oh, aren't they really the same? Well, maybe they're not, but it really doesn't matter because some have likened People of Praise to The Handmaid's Tale, and thus we have this woman with all these children who is pro-life but claims that she will continue to do what she's done in her career, which is observe the role of precedent in court decisions. But we don't really trust her because we know she's one of those handmade ladies.
Why did Reuters rewrite this story?
Because everybody else has. I mean, to some degree, it's been out there. Everybody knew it was going to come back at some point in her career. I mean, there have been stories of varying quality from the Religion News Service and a host of other people, and commentaries as well as stories. But as you know, one of the biggest trends in our age is this blurring of lines between what is news copy and what is commentary. It's significant that Reuters went online and quietly rewrote that story to where it now opens with this. People of Praise, a self-described charismatic Christian community, has faced renewed interest since blah, blah, blah. It's a very boring kind of standard lead. The group says on its website, it is made of liberals and conservatives with a mixture including Roman Catholics and Pentecostal traditions, though at least one expert and a former member, so two people, consider it very conservative. Until 2018, it used the term handmaid for its female leaders. Well, there's some question about whether that's the People of Hope or the People of Praise. But then, once again, the word handmaid is not explained in its Catholic context, which is, or even Orthodox Christian context. Let me just give you an example that listeners can appreciate. In Orthodoxy, when we go forward to receive communion, the priest says to a male, the servant of the Lord, my patron saint is Brendan. So he would say, the servant of the Lord, Brendan, receives the body and blood of Christ. And he goes through the rest of the words that is associated with giving the body and blood to the believer. When a woman comes forward, the priest says, the handmaid of the Lord, and then uses her saint's name. So the word is directly paralleled with servant. And some people would say that handmaid would be the special servant, the chosen servant of, or even the humble servant of. I mean, that it has different connotations. But when you use it in a female context in an Orthodox world, you are directly linking it to Mary, the Mother of God, to her willingness to bear Christ and her choice to bear Christ, her acceptance of that role. So, I mean, once again, we're playing with really high theological stakes when you start turning a Catholic or Orthodox concept of the word handmaid into a pop culture cult of sex slaves definition. That's fairly loaded stakes.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk a little bit about a New York Times story. Terry has some nice things to say about it. We're discussing the faith of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Terry Mattingly is founder and editor of Get Religion. We'll be right back.
The person who makes the claim bears the burden. Not the Christian. It's not the Christian's job to disprove their claim, not first.
Greg Kokel speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
The first step is to gather information with some form of the question, what do you mean by that? The second step is to reverse the burden of proof when the other person is making the claim with some form of the question, how did you come to that conclusion? And now this gives them a chance to give you a point of view with reasons in favor of it. Until they do that, you have nothing really to speak to because they haven't made a case of any kind. They just emoted.
You can watch and listen to Greg Kokel's presentation, Making the Case for Discussing Your Christian Convictions, on a recording of the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. For a $250 tax-deductible gift, you can access an on-demand video stream or podcast. Order today at IssuesETC.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. Folks, you have 1 week left to take advantage of a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. You can save $25 on a one-time clean or $25 on your first two cleans thanks to the Cleaning Authority. When you contact the Cleaning Authority to request a free estimate, be sure to mention Issues Etc. In Greater St. Louis, you can call 314-690-9877. 314-690-9877. And remember to mention Issues Etc. You'll find all of this information at our Facebook page, facebook.com/issuesetc.org. The offer expires on September 30th, the Cleaning Authority. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about various stories on the religious faith of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Terry, you wanted to talk about a New York Times piece. You had some nice things to say about it.
Yes, frankly, I was sort of shocked, you know, when this thing showed up. I had created a research file in which I stuck all kinds of material about, you know, her and the coverage of this, including the opening New York Times piece. But my week is always kind of complex. This week was a little more complex than others because of a medical procedure I had last week. We'll just leave it at that. And then I had a column to write to catch up on. And so I put a bunch of stuff in this folder and I opened it up and here were several horrible stories. And right in the middle of it was a New York Times piece called "To Conservatives, Barrett Has the Perfect Combination of Attributes for Supreme Court." And I also saw on Twitter, I saw several conservatives, thoughtful conservatives, praising this piece. And I thought, oh, what in the world? So I called it up, and sure enough, the Times had assigned one of its religion reporters to this piece. Working with another reporter, they created a team. And the piece is, to be blunt, there is something in this piece to make everybody nervous. There's material that will make people on the left nervous. There's material in it that will make people on the right nervous about it. But it's meticulously reported, and almost all of the crucial information comes with attributions, with people's names and even publications and academic facts connected to it. In other words, you can read this story, and even if you like or dislike parts of it, you still know where it's coming from. It's a good, solid work of classic American journalism. Even on a topic as heated, as I think we've already proven, as heated as this one is, let me just read you one or two quotes from this. Her religious convictions are pro-life, and she lives those convictions, said Judge Patrick J. Schlitz, a longtime mentor and U.S. District Judge in Minnesota, who, like Judge Barrett, is Roman Catholic. The question of what we believe as a religious matter has nothing to do with what we believe a written document says. So he's saying this woman can be the pro-life woman she is and can live within the rules and laws of obeying precedent when you're working at a lesser court. Further down, there is a long, long passage describing her and the life of her husband. I'll just read a little bit of this. Judge Barrett and her husband, Jesse Barrett, a former federal prosecutor who is now in private practice, have 7 children, all under 20, including 2 adopted from Haiti and a young son with Down syndrome, whom she would carry downstairs by piggyback in the morning. Judge Barrett is known for volunteering at her children's grade school, and age 48 would be the youngest justice on the bench poised to shape a generation of American law. It has some other descriptions. It notes that several of the friends of the Barretts and other Notre Dame law professors have also gone out of their way to adopt children. And one of the law professors says concerning the Barretts, their family is radically generous and hospitable. And that's the context that sets up, and I believe this is accurate, the discussion of the Dianne Feinstein quote with the dogma lives loudly within you. And whether or not the first half of that famous quote, you have a long history of believing your religious belief should prevail, the question is whether or not that is accurate. And the Times does a great job in this story of allowing people on both sides of that debate to speak clearly and for their information and their point of view to be directly attributed to them. Didn't it sound strange that we have to praise that? But in the loaded age we live in, you need to do so. The Times piece also then mentioned Judge Barrett's connection to a small and relatively obscure Christian group, People of Praise, also attracted attention after a report in 2017 that she and her husband were members. The group grew out of a charismatic Catholic renewal movement that began in the late 1960s and adopted Pentecostal practices such as speaking in tongues, belief in prophecy, and divine healing. Period. What's missing from that paragraph? The word handmade. No attempt to link that group through inaccurate information to get it connected for liberal readers to The Handmaid's Tale. Newsweek ran an article earlier which led to the necessity of doing an embarrassing correction. A lot of people online said, if you have this correction at the end of it, Why are you leaving the story online? Why are you leaving the story in print? Listen to this devastating correction, which, by the way, the correction doesn't go far enough. This article's headline originally stated that People of Praise inspired The Handmaid's Tale. The book's author, Margaret Atwood, has never specifically mentioned the group as being the inspiration for her work. A New Yorker profile of the author in 2017 mentions a newspaper clipping as part of her research for the book of a different charismatic Catholic group, People of Hope. Newsweek regrets the error. So, like, oh, it was another group anyway, not the one that we allege Barrett is a member of or that she might be a member of or may have been a member of. But there's another interesting point here, which an article at National Review has come out with, and that is that the Associated Press story about People of Hope that Atwood has pointed to, which includes language about handmade and whatever being used, that article came out weeks or even months after she finished writing the book, and it had already been published and reviewed in the press. So Newsweek is referring to a newspaper clipping that was a part of her research as proof for this. The clipping is from after the writing of the book. The book is already out. So there's no way that that clipping could have been a part of the inspiration for the book since the story didn't exist. So now maybe we should add that on to the Newsweek correction? It's a devastating correction as it is, all of which I hope the point for listeners is made by now. There is a lot of emotional baggage here on the left concerning connecting this woman to this Handmaid's Tale image with all of the symbolism that goes with it. And yes, there is a lot of emotional baggage connected to this woman on the religious right because she so perfectly symbolizes in her life what it looks like to be a pro-life woman who is open about her pro-life convictions. So they're, both sides are very emotionally involved in this story. It just happens that one of them is for reasons that, from all indications on the record, appear to be accurate, and the other is this very convoluted attempt to connect her to the imagery of A Handmaid's Tale.
With less than a minute here, Terry, your syndicated On Religion column this week ties in with this story. Tell us about it with about a minute.
Yeah, it was really hard not to mention the Amy Coney Barrett controversy in this. My column this week is about the simple fact that worldwide there is a direct connection between fertility, the number of children that women and families choose to have, or have, in some cultures, I guess, there's a direct connection between fertility and the degree to which people actively practice traditional forms of faith. Then there is a direct evidence that how active you practice a faith is the best indicator of how you will behave culturally and politically. So in other words, there's a direct link between high fertility and religious practice. Then there's a direct connection between high religious practice and how people vote. Now tell me that that doesn't have some implications for traditional practicing Sunday morning Catholics being the crucial swing vote in the upcoming election.
Terry Mattingly is senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi. He is author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thanks.
Glad to be here.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we're going to be in our series, The Words of Scripture, talking about righteousness with Pastor Will Wheaton, host of the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio, called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Stay tuned.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues, Etc.